Let's open up in prayer. I want to share a word with you today. God put on my heart. Father, I thank you, Lord Jesus. I thank you for your presence here, God, because your presence is everything, God. Without your presence, God, this is just a hall, God. Without your presence, it's just a gathering, Lord Jesus. But Father, with your presence, God, it's church, Lord God. With your presence, Lord God, it means everything. So Father, thank you that you anoint my words, God, that have come from your heart, Lord Jesus. And help us to hear today, Lord God. And I pray that we have worshiped you so beautifully, God. We have praised you so wonderfully, Lord Jesus. And I just ask right now that by your Holy Spirit, God, open up each of our ears, our heart, including mine, Lord God, to truly hear what you want us to say, what the message is for us today, God, and what you want us to walk away with this morning, Lord Jesus. Father, you're so good, Lord God, and you love us, God. And one of the great things about that love, God, that you never leave us where we are. You're always calling us and bringing us forward to the next step, God, the next level, God. So, Father, I thank you for today is no different, Lord Jesus. Bless all those here today, God. Bless all their plans for next month, some who are graduating, God, some who will be working and going home, God. But, Father, thank you right now that all we want is your will. That's all we want, God. Whatever that is, Lord Jesus. Some of us know, some of us don't know, God. But, Father, give us a desire that whatever it is, God, even if it's things that maybe in our heart we don't want, God, let us still desire your will, God, your ways inside of our lives, Lord Jesus. So, Father, I thank you for a word today that means something. I thank you for a word today that goes right to our heart. I thank you for a word today that we can understand by your strength, Holy Spirit. And, God, if those of us in here who need to be changed by this word, then you do it, Lord Jesus. We give you reign, Holy Ghost. Have your way. Just have your way. Because, you know, when we pray to have your way, it's always, always a good thing. And that we pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen. What's a sign that something is alive? Anybody just shout out. What's a sign that something is alive? Spring? Life, breath, what else? All those things. One more thing. What else? Anything else? That's right. Don't yell, brother. I hear you. That's all right. Don't get tough. I mean, I'll come down there, brother. No, I'm just kidding. But you're absolutely right. Absolutely right. One of the signs that something is alive, that it grows. It grows. I remember a while ago I had this plant someone gave me, and I'm not good with plants. And the sun was making it brown, and I hardly ever watered it. And after a while, it was like a stick, you know, leaves were gone. I don't even know what kind of plant it was. But I had hope for the plant, you know. So I kept it like for three, four years and watered it maybe once a year or something like that. And I got to the point where I'm looking at this stick, and I'm going, it's not alive. You know, it's just not, nothing's going to happen. It's not alive, this thing. There's no growth, no leaves, no nothing on it, you know. And I should have watered it, put Miracle-Gro on it, but I was too busy for that. So I had to get to the point where, listen, there's no growth on this thing, so I got to dump it. I got to put the kibosh on this plant, so I threw it out. But one of the signs that something is alive, that it grows. It grows, it changes, it grows. Every day. It doesn't stay static. It doesn't stay the same. Now, a lot of you are going to be graduating. Some of you are going to be, most of you are going to be home, maybe jobs or whatever the future God has for you for the summer. But one thing you have to do when you leave this place, you've got to continue to grow. You've got to continue to grow in the ways of the Lord, in the knowledge of the Lord, in the will of the Lord. Don't stop growing. Don't stop getting in the Word just because you leave school. Don't stop reading. And I know you're not going to do that, but I just want to encourage you. Don't stop growing. You've got to continue to grow, because once you stop growing, it's all over. Once you stop growing and become stagnant, okay, you end up going backwards. You don't just stay at a certain level. You end up going backwards. You really do. But you got to grow. There's a whole lot today, for those of you who are studying to be pastors, there's a whole lot today about church growth. Everybody's after numbers. Every time I meet a pastor, well, what's your number? How many around? Blah, blah, blah. I always say 27 million. We got 27 million in our church. Crowded on Sundays, but we'll get a seat for you. So, okay, come on in. Because I never get into numbers. Because God doesn't measure growth by that. He measures growth by your heart. I'd rather go to somebody and say, what's the spiritual maturity of your church? You know, how many people are coming out to prayer? You know, how many people are serving, you know? It's all those other things that mean something in church. So, but we've got to grow, especially in our life in Christ. After we're saved, what do? We grow. Matthew 5:48 says, you are to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. That word perfect means mature, grow it. You got to be growing. You got to be getting some things with the Word of God. You mean, Word of God says, Colossians 4:12, that you may stand perfect, mature, and fully assured in all the will of God. You got to grow in the will of God. What is God's will for you today? What is He saying to you about who He wants you to speak to, and maybe something He wants you to pray about? What's His will for you today? And that's my prayer every day. God, you let me know your will today. Whatever it is, God, I want your will, no matter what, God. Go here, do this, because that's what we want. So you've got to grow in God's will. The Word of God says in James chapter 1, verse 4, let endurance have its perfect work in you, that you may be perfect and complete. Okay, God, bring me to that place of completion, God. We'll never fully get complete until we go home to glory. But God, every day, make me complete for today, Lord God. What do I need to be complete today with, God? You show me, Lord God. And that's what I want in my heart. If you have your Bibles, turn to 1 Peter chapter 5. If you have your Bibles. And right in 1 Peter chapter 5, it's a confirmation of that we're to grow in the things of God. And the Word of God says in 1 Peter chapter 5, right in verse 10, it says, after you have suffered for a little while, a lot of people don't like to hear that part of it, but after you have suffered for, in other words, after you have gone through some stuff, some trials, some challenges, some tribulations, after you get some challenges to your faith, after you've gone through these things for a while, the God of all grace who called you to his eternal glory in Christ will himself perfect you. In other words, mature you, confirm you, strengthen you, and establish you. So he's talking about growing. God will work in your heart, okay? If you desire that, God will bring you to the next step, and then to the next step, and then to the next step. Because he's always going forward in the things of faith. Amen? That word perfect means not without mistake, but it means to come to full age, to grow to full age. Growing, maturing, getting smarter, getting stronger. Not static, not just the same. Amen? Achieving what God said for you by his work in you. What is he trying to achieve in you today? Don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will be here in Jesus' name. But what is he trying to work in you today? What are some of the things he's trying to establish in you, or perfect you, mature you today? What's he speaking about, whether we want to hear him or not? Because we're no longer a child. But sometimes we resist growing, don't we? Sometimes we resist growing up. I remember when I was a teenager, I said, I'm never going to be 60. I'm going to stop at 25. I'm never going to... Yeah, that really worked. That was good. I was able to stop at 25, yeah. I don't look 25? See, you don't know whether to laugh or not with that, huh? I got you. But I'm not 25. Scared you, didn't I? About the Word of God says, sometimes we resist growing and maturing. Wouldn't it be great? Listen, this is my theory. If I was God, this is what I would do. Now listen, we know God's plan is we're born and we grow, and maybe some to 70, 80, 90, to some people I know are 100, and we get old and sometimes break down a little bit, and then God takes us home, normally. My idea of life is, if I was God, everybody grows to age 30. At 30, we stay age 30 for 70 years. Nobody grows old. You're 30 for 70 years. At the end of 70 years, you go home. And that's it. Nobody gets old and crazy. You stay 30 for 70 years. Any votes on that? You want to do that? Anybody? Yeah, okay. So let's talk to God about it and we'll see, right? But I don't think that's going to happen. But it was his plan that we grow and we get older and older and older and older and older and older. But the Word of God says, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, that he doesn't want us to remain infants in Christ. He wants us to go from milk to solid food, growing, okay? Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12, he says, you ought to be teachers by now. Some of you, I spoke to many men of our church, we had one of our last men's meetings, said, some of you should be teachers by now. You're holding back. You're not developing as God wants you to develop. You're compromising, you're taking it easy on some things, and some of you ought to be teachers by now, and you need to move on with God. 1 Peter chapter 2. Oh, I love this. Just turn again. In 1 Peter chapter 2, go back a little bit from where we are. In 1 Peter chapter 2, right in verse 1. Let me get there. It says, therefore, putting aside all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and every all kinds of slander, like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation. Long to grow. Desire to grow. Desire for the pure milk of the Word of God. Desire to be different than you were yesterday. In every area of your life, desire to be different. God, okay, God, mature me more today, God. And I pray that myself, God. Every day I want to be different. Every day I want to grow. Whether it's in this area or that area of my life, God. Every day I want to grow. And the Word of God says, crave that. Desire that. Desire to grow. Don't just settle for where you are right now. Just desire to grow. When a baby is hungry, when you got a little baby, maybe newborn baby, whatever, and they're hungry, what do? They do. They cry, and they let you know that they're hungry, they get crazy, and they don't stop crying till you feed them, and you got to feed them again. And in a way, that's how we should be. Not that we cry like babies, but when we should have that expression that I want to be fed. I want to be fed by God's word. I want to be fed by his ways. I want that craving, that desire inside of me to be fed by God's word. Amen. Sometimes just like that newborn baby. To earnestly desire that word of God. To earnestly seek to grow. But there's a danger in not growing, people. You got to really be careful of this. And this is what I want to share with you today. You got to really be careful that you don't get into a place where you stop growing. And you just kind of stay a certain way for a while. And because you really can't stay for a certain way. If you stay in a certain way, it's really kind of falling back and it's static. And when that happens, you're a target. When you're not going forward, you're literally going backwards. And when the devil sees those who are going backwards, you're a target. He's going to shoot his shot because you're not growing in the things of God. You got enough faith to get by. You got enough trust to get by. You got enough knowledge in the Word to get by. And you stay in a certain way for some years of your life. And I know a lot of people, even been in the Word maybe 20, 30, 40, 50 years, and they're not growing. They're the same way they were maybe 20 years ago. They got enough faith to get by, enough of the Word of God to know a couple of scriptures here and there, but not really growing in the things of God. Not really being established further in the things of God. And I was looking in the Word of God, and God led me to a guy you may know in the Bible who kind of this happened to. Anybody remember a guy named Solomon, David's son? Old Saul started great. Man, Solomon started good. David prayed for him, gave him the kingdom, literally. Gave him all the tools and establishment for the temple to build. And Solomon started really good. And David prayed for him. This is a guy who prayed in a temple, rebuilt the temple, had that dedication prayer of the temple. The glory of God came down. I mean, it was absolutely wonderful. And everybody's going, wow, we got a king after God's heart, like just like David. And it was beautiful. And Solomon was blessed with wisdom, as you know. He was blessed with riches, and there wasn't a thing that was withheld from him. So when he started out, he was doing good. He was growing in the Word, teaching the Word, writing about the Word, studying the Word of God. But at some point, something happened to him. At some point, something happened where he stopped growing. He stopped going forward. He kind of just stopped in his tracks. And then he started to go backwards. Now, most of you know the story, but I want to share it with you. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 17. Deuteronomy 17. This is God's word to the kings who are going to be now in Israel. David and Solomon and all the other kings. This is God's rules, okay, for being king right now. And Solomon knew this because David read it to him and let him know that. So here's God's law for anybody who's going to be king. This is what you got to do, okay? And in Deuteronomy 17, right in verse 14, God says, talking about the kings now, says, when you enter into the land which your Lord, your God gives you, and you possess it and live in it, and you say, I will set a king over me like all the nations who are around me, you shall surely set a king over you, whom the Lord your God chooses. Now, again, reference to Solomon here. One from among your countrymen that you shall set as king over yourselves, and you may not put a foreigner over yourselves who is not your countryman. And verse 16 says, moreover, in other words, he shall not multiply horses for himself. God says, I'll take care of that. Nor shall he cause the people to return to Egypt to get these horses. Stay away from Egypt, okay? Since the Lord, he has said to you, you shall never again return that way. So what's he saying? So don't go to Egypt. Don't get these horses. I'll take care of all your needs. And verse 17, he shall also not multiply wives for himself, or else his heart will turn away. Nor shall he increase silver and gold for himself. So here God's saying, okay, anybody who wants to be king, one, okay? Don't go seeking all these horses, especially from Egypt. God says, I'll take care of that. Don't go to Egypt. Don't get these horses. Second, don't have a lot of wives. That's a really good thing. Don't have a lot of wives, okay? And the third thing was, don't add on great silver and great gold. God says, I'll take care of all your needs. Okay, God, we got it. We understand the issues here. We got it. When David did it. No silver and gold. You'll take care of us. And Solomon became king, and something happened, though. He stopped craving the word of God. He stopped letting God perfect him and change him. And he became static and went no further. Wow. He became static and went no further. What did he do? Well, go to 1 Kings. Just bear with me. I'm getting to my main point. In 1 Kings chapter 10, look what he did, the guy. Solomon, are you crazy? In 1 Kings chapter 10, Right in verse 28. 1 Kings chapter 10, verse 28. And also Solomon's import of horses was from Egypt. Come on, Solomon. And the king's merchants procured them from Kew for a price. He's just doing exactly what God said not to do. Don't go to Egypt and get these horses. Well, you know, it's an innocent thing. We have the money. They have the best horses. What harm can that do? And sometimes what we start to do, we start to rationalize what God says not to do. Come on, what could that, come on, they're good horses. We're not going to worship them. You know, they're good horses. They're the best ones from Egypt. We need trade with Egypt. And we come up with all these reasons why we should do what God said don't do. Because it makes sense in the world. And sometimes if you want something bad enough, listen to me, if you want something bad enough, you'll override God and try to twist what he says so you can get what you want. And you got to watch that. Christians are doing it all the time. So here's Solomon. He gets all these horses. And then he adds on to that in 2 Kings chapter 10, verse 22. For the king had at sea ships of Tarshish with the ships of Haran. Once every 3 years, the ships of Tarshish came bringing gold and silver, ivory and apes and peacocks. He's getting all this gold, silver and gold shipped in. And God said, don't do that. I'm going to supply what you need. You don't have to go to this place and have it shipped in every year and these big mounds of silver. The silver is so plentiful. Solomon, what are you doing? Look at verse 27. It adds on to the same thing. And the king made silver as common as stones in Jerusalem. And he made cedars as plentiful as sycamore trees that are in the lowland. There was so much silver, it was as common as the little pebbles on the street. He imported so much silver. God said, don't do that. There's a reason why I'm having you not do this. Don't do that. And yet he did it. Solomon, you crazy? What got into his head? Now, he knew what it was. But what started to get into his head, I'm going to show you. And this affects all of us. And lastly, 1 Kings chapter 11. Remember the word of God came, don't get a whole bunch of wives. You know, marry one woman and stay with her. Watch out for these harems. And here he goes, 1 Kings chapter 11, right in verse 1. Now King Solomon loved many foreign women, along with the daughter of the Pharaoh. Oh, come on, Solomon, give me a break. Verse 2. From the nations concerning which the Lord has said to the sons of Israel, you shall not associate with them, nor shall they associate with you. For they will surely, here you go, they will surely turn your heart away after other gods. But Solomon held fast to these women in love. In other words, God's saying, hey, Solomon, they're going to turn your heart. You better cut it out. It's going to come up on you. It's going to change your heart. You may think you're strong now. But over time, they're going to change your heart, and you're going to be doing things you never thought you would ever, ever do. You'll be going to places you said you'd never, ever go to. You're going to be doing things you said you'd never, ever do. And you're going to be hanging around with people that you never said that you would never hang around with. Wow. And verse 3. Now, he's got to be crazy, and I love marriage, but he had 700 wives. Whoa. Princesses and 300 concubines, and his wives turned his heart away. It's not in it, but they had to turn his mind away, too. I mean, he had 700 wives, princesses, 300 concubines, and his wives turned his heart away. And when Solomon, verse 4, was old, listen to this, his wives turned his heart away after other gods, and his heart was not wholly devoted to the Lord, his God, as the heart of David, his father, had been. Oh, how sad. Man, the guy started out so good. Such promise. Such excitement and spiritual enthusiasm for the kingdom and everything was coming back. And here he is. He gets the silver and gold. There's plentiful of stones. He gets all these horses from Egypt. God said, don't do. 700 wives. And they turned his heart away. And now he's worshiping other gods. How could this happen? Now, you may be here saying, I'm not perfect, but I know that could never happen to me. Because I really love God. I really, really love God, and I want to have a life. So that stuff really can't happen to me. That's a good lesson for Solomon. But it really can't happen to me. Because I'm not like Solomon. Watch this. 1 Kings, go there. 1 Kings chapter 3. This is what happened to Solomon. This is why he crumbled. This is why he fell. And why he stopped growing. 1 Kings chapter 3, and I want you to highlight the scripture, verse 3. 1 Kings chapter 3, right in verse 3. It says, now Solomon loved the Lord. Stop right there. Solomon loved the Lord. Well, that's good. That's good. But love has to work out in action. You just can't tell somebody you love them with no subsequent action. That's not love. So love is not words. Love is action and proving it. Love is a lifestyle. But look at this. Now Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of his father David. Here we go. Except he sacrificed and burned incense on the high places. In other words, he burned incense on the places where the pagans used to worship. Rather than destroying them, he worshiped there also, even to God, and should not have done that. But look at this word. Now Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of his father David, except he sacrificed and burned incense on the high places. Oh, he loved God, and he did some good things. But there was one place in his heart, except this. God, I'll do all these things for you, God, but I except this. Except this one thing, God. Except this one area of my life. That's mine, God. And that's going to be my thing, God. And I can't give that to you. I'll give you 99% of me, God. But I can't give you 100%. Why? I got to accept. Accept. God, I love you. Accept. I'm going to hold on to this. God, I'll forgive all those people. Except this one, God. God, I'm going to serve all the... Except this one, God. And he has something in his heart called accept. A place in his heart. One thing. One thing. That he did not completely submit and surrender to God. That one thing where he held back a little bit. That one thing that he protected, that he kept, that he wasn't going there. Oh, he'll give God all the other stuff in his life. But he wasn't going to a place in his heart. God, I'll do all the, except this. And it's that except area where the devil shot his shots at Solomon. It's that one area where he was weak. Because he didn't give everything to the Lord. There was a place where he didn't surrender everything. There was a place in his heart where he didn't submit everything to God. He held back something. Maybe a secret lust. Maybe some kind of secret. Maybe behavior. Maybe a fear or a sorrow or an anger about something. And that could affect every single one of us. God, I'll forgive all those people, but this time I can't forgive this one, God. You don't know what they did to me, God. God, I'll ask your forgiveness of all these sins, but this one, God, I don't know. God, I'll give you all the areas of my heart, but this one, God, I've been holding on to for a long time, God, and I don't want to go there. I don't want to go in this area of my heart. I don't want to be that transparent with you, God. This area is mine, God. Maybe something had happened to me, God. And maybe something that I did, God. And you go live your life, and you go do your thing, but this one thing is always there. And you'll do anything to try to avoid it, try to rationalize it, try to minimize it, try to not deal with it, because it's one area where we go, except. That's what started to bring down Solomon. The guy was doing good. Followed God. Loved God. Yes, he loved God. He did not fall out of love with God, but something got a hold of his heart. One thing that he wasn't dealing with. And that one thing, the devil saw that, target. Shot every fiery arrow right at that one thing. And he started to worship pagan God, Solomon. And you know that? We have to check ourselves. Do we have that area? God, we're doing good. We love you, God. We praise you. We worship you, God. We're starting here at Summit, Lord God. And some of us are going to graduate. Some are going home for the summer. And we're going to serve you in church, God. We'll be studying to be a pastor, God. We're doing all these things. I'm going to give you everything except this one thing in my heart, God. Maybe it's a pride, a self-sufficiency. Maybe it's the idea or attitude and how you want things to be. And God is saying this way, you're saying, well, I think it should be this way. Maybe there's an area where you're not listening to authority. You love authority and you love people, but there's an area where you're holding on to my way on that thing. Maybe a little thing, but you're holding on to me, my way. And you're not totally submitting to authority and leadership. And that one thing, listen to me, is going to come back to bite you. No doubt. Hey, listen. This 25-year-old knows what he's talking about. All right? It's going to come back to bite you. It's going to come back. It's going to come around because it all comes around again. It's going to come around. And when you least expect it, it's going to grab onto you. And you're not going to feel free in the things of God. Think for a second. Just think for a second. And I do this too. When God showed me this even before, I had to step back and say, God, do I have an accept in me? Because I give you everything, God, and I believe I am God. But if I'm holding back an area, God, you really got to show me. And he did, and I had it accepted in my heart. It had to do with sorrow. I was just holding back a sorrow in my heart that I really wasn't dealing with. I didn't want to go there. I didn't want to face it. I didn't want to feel that thing. But it wasn't accept. God, give everything except this part of my heart. And then I wonder why I was getting attacked in this area, in that area, and why I felt this in certain areas. Think for a second. Is there an area in you where, God, I love you? Yes, I'm serving you, God. Got a great future in you? Absolutely, God. I love you more. You saved me, God. You work in my life. But God, there's an area of my life where it's still me. It's still me. And I haven't really yielded that to you. Maybe a thought, a desire, an experience, a pride, a selfishness. Something where it's just between you and God. Maybe no one else knows. Because you know what that started to do with Solomon? This is amazing. See, we can't have those exceptions in our life. That means we're not fully following. We have unsurrendered areas of our heart. There's something in our heart that is not totally given over to God. Unsubmitted, unsurrendered. Because look what it did to Solomon. In 2 Chronicles chapter 8, turn there. 2 Chronicles chapter 8. This ends good, so hold on. In 2 Chronicles chapter 8, verse 11, it led first to compromise in Solomon's life. First thing it leads to is somewhere along the line, you're going to compromise something of the Word of God. That's what that accept does. That holding back that one area, somewhere there's going to be a compromise. Maybe little, maybe big, but there's going to be a compromise. Look what he did. He lost his thinking over this. 2 Chronicles chapter 8, right in verse 11. This is amazing. And Solomon, and I'll explain this. And Solomon brought Pharaoh's daughter up from the city of David to the house which he had built for her. For he said, my wife shall not dwell in the house of David, king of Israel, because the places are holy where the ark of the Lord has entered. So remember, David married Pharaoh's daughter, all right? And she wasn't allowed to be in the throne room, but that's where she was. So here gets David, he gets this bright idea, says, okay, yeah, let's obey the word of God. I'm going to take her out of the throne room. I'm going to build a house for her down the street. And I'm going to let her live in a house down the street. Rather than get rid of her. Get rid of that sin. Because sometimes what we do, we compromise with our sin. We take it out of the throne room, we put her in the house we make for her down the road. A little bit out of sight, it'll be okay. No, get rid of it. But his thinking was so compromised, he figured, well, I'll just get her out of the throne room where no pagan should be. But rather than get rid of that sin, rather than deal with it, rather than repent and put it, I'll just put it over here. And sometimes we do that with our sin. Sometimes we do that with those wrong attitudes in heart. I'm not going to let it go. I'll get it out of the mainstream. I'll get it out of the main part of the house. But I'll just keep it in the basement over here. And anytime I need it, I go back to it. Solomon, you're crazy. The first thing that accept did was cause him to live a life of compromise. He compromised. And sometimes you got to watch it. We don't do that. God, I know you're dealing with an issue in my life, God. And I know you want it out. I know you want it done with. I know you want it repented of, God. But God, you know what? I'll give everything except that. I'll just kind of put it over here in the back of my mind. And God says, get rid of it. Yeah, but I can't. God says, let that thing go. Yeah, but I can't because I'll just put it. God says, it's going to come back on you. Yeah, I know. I can handle it, God. I got faith. No. And we put it right here. And then a little bit down the road, that little thing becomes a giant. And it starts to take you over. No. Can't compromise with sin. Can't play games with ungodly things. Because that's what he did to Solomon. And look what else he did, this guy. It was amazing. In 1 Kings chapter 11, go back there a little bit. In 1 Kings chapter 11, look what else he does. Not only is he compromising, but in 1 Kings chapter 11, right in the beginning of verse 4, when Solomon was old, his wives turned his heart away from other gods, and his heart was not wholly devoted to the Lord his God, as the heart of David his father had been. For Solomon, listen, this is Solomon who worshipped God in the temple. When the glory of God came down, look at him now. Verse 5, for Solomon went after Ashtaroth, the goddess of the Sidonians, and after Milcom, the detestable idol of the Ammonites. Now he's starting to worship false gods. Verse 6, Solomon did what was evil in the sight of the Lord and did not fully follow the Lord fully as David his father had done. And then Solomon built a high place for Chemosh, the detestable idol of Moab, and on a mountain which is east of Jerusalem, and for Moloch, the detestable idol of the sons of Ammon. And thus he did for all his foreign wives who burned incense and sacrifice to their gods. Solomon, no! No! What's the matter with you? Now you're worshiping other gods? Now you're burning fires to Moloch that was a god of child sacrifice? How far he fell. Why? One accept in his heart. He loved God. He allowed that one accept. And that caused him to compromise with sin. And now start to worship idols? Start to worship pagan gods and burn fire to them and exalt them? Solomon. Imagine God's heart. Shattered. Broken. Solomon, what are you doing? See, that's why you can't go and say, well, that accept in my heart is not a big thing. Oh, yeah, it is. And if there's one thing that that's going to be the last time many of you are going to see me, and I'm speaking here for the last time before you graduate, if you're going to leave this place and remember one thing that comes from old Pastor Angelo, that old 25-year-old, I'm going to say here, is that you're going to remember, let there not be an accept in my heart, God. Let there not be an accept in my heart, Lord God. Let me give it to you fully, Lord Jesus. No holding back. No secret areas, no compromise with sin. No, God. If there's anything in my heart, God, you gotta show me, God. I want to give it to you fully, Lord Jesus. Fully, Lord God. It started with the exception. Do you have an exception in your heart that's stopping you from growing or being more stable? Let me just ask you a few questions, just things to consider. How do you receive correction? Are you open when people correct you, or do you kind of go, hey, that's your problem, not mine. You're the one with the problem. Sometimes that happens. Was anybody here ever disappointed? Got to watch out for that. Anybody ever discouraged? Sure. Anybody wish you were in an easier place sometimes? Absolutely. How do you deal when you get offended? How do you deal with that? Does it stay? Or are you out of here? Maybe even with your attitude. How do you deal when old patterns of behavior start to come up? God has been doing a new thing in you, but sometimes things react and situations happen and you find yourself acting like you used to before you got saved. How do those old patterns of behavior, they still come up every now and then? Do you crave His Word and do you crave to please Him? How do you handle adversity? Do you run away from it? How are you doing with that? Is that old man dead yet? How are you at loving people and forgiving people? How are you doing with that? There's all things we got to look at and say, okay, God, where am I with that, God? And we always got to go, God, you shined a light in my heart, Lord Jesus. Because God has something so beautiful for you. God has something so precious for you. No matter how He's leading you, whether it's in ministry or to work at home or different jobs, whatever it be, He's got something so beautiful for you. The thing that will destroy it is that accept. That thing. That one thing that you're holding back on God. Can I ask the keyboard player to come up and just play in the background? I don't know her name, so forgive me for that. So she's here. What is her name? What's your name? Gracie? Grace. It's Gracie now. Okay. No. Come on, Grace. Come on, Grace. Just want to pray. But it's that one thing, baby, listen to me, that stays, that affects everything. So just think for a second right now. Is there an accept in my heart, Lord God? Is there something inside of me that, God, you know what, I've given you pretty much everything, but there's an area, Lord God, where, you know what, I'm kind of holding back. There's an area of my life where, God, you know where I'm kind of, I don't want to go there, God. There's an area of my life where it's me, and that's okay, and I want that, and maybe it has something to do with authority or leadership, and you kind of want your own thing, and you really haven't been submitted totally to leadership. Because some people do submit to leadership, but you don't trust leadership. Because many of us have been burned. Many of us have been hurt by people, by leaders, by pastors. And you'll submit to a point and you'll go along with the game, but bottom line in your heart, you don't trust. And sometimes that mistrust is creating a division in your heart. Because you've been so burnt. And you don't want to get burnt again. And sometimes God says, listen, it's okay to give me that accept in your heart. I'm not going to hurt you, God says. I love you. So God says, I love you so much that I want this guy to speak about it today that you don't carry that out these doors today. that you don't have that one area where you're not surrendered. That you don't have that one area where it's you. It's your pride. It's your will as opposed to God's will. Whatever it may be. God says, I want you to let it go. Because God says, when you walk out these doors today, I got a beautiful life for you. I got blessings for you. I got a life of fulfillment and satisfaction and purpose. Not without struggle. But in those struggles, I'll be there to fight those battles for you. Walk through them with you, praise God. That nothing will be able to defeat you or stop you. That you'll have a life of such fulfillment. You know those desires in your heart? God says, I gave you those. And I'm going to fulfill those desires. I gave you them. Whether it be for family or for ministry or for whatever it may be. God says, I'm going to fulfill that in you. Just let go of the accept. Just give me everything. Just don't hold on to that stuff. Submit if you got to. Surrender if you need to. Forget. Whatever it may be. Do not, listen to me, and I love you. Do not let that one thing stay right here. You'll be a target. And you're too precious to be a target. You're too beautiful to be a target. Too much is at stake for you to be a target. You know what's amazing? God sees right now, whatever God has here outside these doors and after graduation, and even next year as some of you come back, God has, this is amazing, God sees already all the people that your life is going to touch. Whether it's sharing a word in Walmart, whether it's preaching in China, whether it's beginning a church in Pennsylvania, God sees already the people, the needy, hurting, broken people that your life is going to touch. Value that. Value that. And don't trade that off for something cheaper, for a cheaper life that holds on to your ways. You let it go. Say, God, use me. So God, today as we close, God, if there's an accept in my heart, God, I want to give it to you. I want to give it to you, Lord Jesus. I don't want to walk out of here with that, God, because I want the life that you have for me, God. And what's that life? Just like Paul said in Philippians chapter 3. But whatever things were gained to me, those things I've counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things, and I count them but rubbish, that I may gain Christ, and I may be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own, there's that accept, delivered from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteous which comes from God on the basis of faith. And Paul said that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, in order that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I've already obtained it or have already become perfected or mature, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Said, brethren, I don't regard myself as having laid hold of everything yet, but there's one thing I do. I'm forgetting what lies behind, and I'm reaching forward to what lies ahead. And I'm pressing on to the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. That's how to live. That's how to live. I'm pressing on, God. I'm not going to let this accept get in the way, God. I'm going on with you. I'm going on with you. That's how to live. I'm pressing on, God. I'm forgetting what lies behind. Put it behind me, God. I'll learn from it, yeah. But I'm not going to live there anymore, God. I'm going forward in you, Lord Jesus, to the life you have for me, God. And if I can let go of this and let go of that, this accept and that accept, God, you know what? You're worth it. I don't want to hold on to anything. I shouldn't be holding on to, God. I'm letting nothing get in the way of this kind of life that you have for me, Lord Jesus. Because, God, maybe you see the people that my life is going to touch. Help me to see them, too. Children, peers, older people, whoever, needy, broken, value that. And get rid of those accepts. And trust God. And trust God. Amen. I just want to pray for you. If you're here today, of course you are, but if you're here today and you're saying right now, you're saying that, no, Pastor Angelo, yeah, I haven't given him everything. I could do an altar call right now, and if I said, everybody who wants to give everything to God, come forward, I believe you'd all come up. But that's not what I'm going to do, because we never seek to fill an altar. But my altar call would be this day. I think there's an accept in my heart. I think there's an area in my heart where, you know what, I haven't. It's me. I can tell it's me. And it may not be your will. It's probably my will. And I've been holding on for this while. Maybe it's a fear, a pain, a sorrow, whatever it may be. I just want to come up today, Pastor Angel. And I really want to give that to God. I want to give him everything. I don't want to hold back. So maybe today, Lord God, I'm going to give you this accept. So I'm going to ask you to come forward. But before I do, just take a moment, you and the Holy Spirit right now. Holy Spirit, show me. Is there an accept in my heart? Is there a place in my heart that, you know what, it's still me? And I really haven't given it to you. And maybe even I'm afraid to go there, or maybe it's too painful to go there. Or maybe it's pride or whatever it may be. But Holy Spirit, just show me right now. Because God, you are gentle and you are beautiful. And you know how to handle my heart, God. So just take a moment with the Holy Spirit. And then I'm going to ask those who, in which the Holy Spirit touches, just say, come up and let's pray for that accept. And let's get rid of that thing today.